Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like gets a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his joke course. But it's no host bar, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, everybody? It is I, We Too Deep. That's DJ Wavy D. We're back with another episode of the Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast. As always, check the first link in the description. Go get your WWE merch. You know, they got a couple new titles on there. If you guys want to go buy some new titles, some new t-shirts, they always got t-shirts. Go get you the They're Not the Ones Jimmy Uso t-shirt that just released on Saturday. All of that, go through our link in the description. It'll help us out a little bit. And then as well, join the Discord. There's a link in the description, or you can wait to the end of the episode where the QR code will show up that you can scan. That'll take you straight to it. Let's jump on in with Let's Get Cooking here. If you could pick any six wrestlers in history, put them in a Money in the Bank match, who you put in and who you have winning, I'll let you start.
All right. All six wrestlers, all six in their prime. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I gotta get RVD in there. Okay. Say we get a frog special off top of the ladder on one side, and then we're getting Eddie Guerrero to do a frog special on the other side. You know what I'm saying? They were doing like a in stereo to, you know what I'm saying, same time frog splash, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Of course, we gotta get the GOAT, you know what I'm saying, the GOAT of participation, Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
All right, in this ladder match. Prime Shelton run up the ladder, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I get Montez Ford. He's had great performances ladder matches past Friday on SmackDown. So, you know, so far we got RVD, Eddie Guerrero, Shelton Benjamin, Montez Ford. Someone's telling me to get a little bit of muscle, but it's like you don't really need muscle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody can kind of do like some of these ladder spots. I hate when they put big men in a ladder match, okay? These giants don't need to be in these fucking ladder matches, okay?
Right.
Like you could bust open the put that ladder in your head and turn it or use it as a battery ram. These guys could do it too, all right? We don't need a fucking giant in these fucking ladder matches. All right. With the fifth spot, you gotta give me Jeff Hardy. You know what I'm saying? You gotta give me Jeff Hardy. You know what's crazy is that, like, there's a world, like, there's a universe out there where all these guys are in a ladder match together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? These guys are all hover around the same time frame, except for Montez.
Right.
But, like, he's old enough to where he can, like, he started his career a little sooner, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Got him,
or these guys wrestle a little bit later.
Right.
My sixth member, you know, crossed my mind of, like, Rey Mysterio. But, you know, it's got to be, like, that young Rey Mysterio. But oh, you know, I'm not really feeling Rey. I'm lacking not star power, but like star power.
Right.
You know, I'm lacking star power. You know what? Fuck it. This is not star power, but give me John Morrison.
Okay.
All right, so we got RVD, Eddie Guerrero, Shelton Benjamin, Montez Ford, Jeff Hardy, and John Morrison. Now that is a star-studded freaking six-man ladder match right there, okay? And the winner of this match is because, you know, he should have done it one of these past couple of years. We're getting Montez Ford a W, okay?
Okay.
We're pushing Montez Ford, like Triple H should do, Forget what Montez Ford says. We'll get into this later. Forget what Montez Ford's about leaving Dawkins behind. Guess what? Get over it. Okay? We're pushing Montez. And that's it right there.
Okay. So some of the people you put on your list and other people you mentioned, I've thought about as well. We're going to start out. You weren't feeling Rey Mysterio. I am. I'm putting prime Rey Mysterio in this match. I'm going to agree with you. Eddie Guerrero needs to be in this match. That's the first name I actually thought of when this idea came to mind. I then thought, I think this could be a cool little spot if I put Dominic in this match as well.
Okay.
So we're going to have Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Dominic Mysterio.
Okay.
We're going to have Prime Edge. I'm going to put in Will Ospreay. I think Will Ospreay, you know, I can get it with some of these little guys. You know, I got to give some AEW credit. He's good enough to be here. I'm with you. Big guys should not be in a ladder match at all. Just stop it. We don't need a Braun Strowman in these fucking
matches. Especially the multi-man ladder matches.
Right. And damn, I had this planned out. I forgot who my number six guy was. Let's see. So we got Ray, Eddie, Dominic, Edge, Will Ospreay, and I knew I should have wrote this down. I'm gonna go with you as well because I've been teetering on if I wanted him in or not. Shelton Benjamin. I'm glad you said his name because I was like, no, I don't know if he would fit in this match, but Shelton Benjamin. We'll put him in here. Prime Shelton, like, ain't no stopping me now. Shelton Benjamin.
Ain't no stopping me.
Let me tell you something. With him and AEW, they fucking, I know WWE owns that song, but if they could somehow get the rights to that song or something that sounds similar to it, he might become my favorite wrestler on that TV show.
I like Shelton when he was the gold standard.
Yeah. Other guys, yeah. Yeah, other guys that I thought of, you know, AJ Styles potentially could be in this style. But my winner of my six, so I got Ray, Eddie, Dominic, Shelton Benjamin, Edge, and Will Ospreay, and I'm giving Dominic the briefcase. Because when I think of like Money in the Bank, first off, I believe the gimmick only works if you're a heel.
Yep.
Second, Dominic's probably the best like chicken shit heel we have. Like, I can imagine like a situation where, you know, Finn Balor's in a match or something. The Judgment Day comes out and beats up the champion, whoever it is, and then Dominic comes out from like behind the barricade and cashes in because Dom can't win it by himself. So that just feels like the perfect little way to. I'm not a big fan of like people who are already in the main event scene winning the Money in the Bank. I feel like that's a waste. I feel like the six competitors should be mid-card members, and one of the person who wins is the guy you're skyrocketing into the main event scene. So sort of like this year, I feel like Drew didn't really necessarily need that briefcase.
Especially, yeah, I feel like it would be better if you got the same point across. If CM Punk just pushed the ladder over,
right?
You could get the same point across,
right?
Ooh, if I make one small tweak to your roster, to your lineup, okay, that I think might help your that especially if we're doing like storyline going into it.
Okay,
all right. Take out Shelton Benjamin from your team.
Okay,
and put in current day Christian.
Oh, current Christian, yeah.
And you mix that with the Eddie, Ray, and Dominic stuff?
The whole little your daddy type thing. Yeah. I like that.
Also, when we're talking Edge, when we say Prime Edge, we're talking like 2000, 2001 when it was having all the TLC matches? Or like 2006, 7 Edge?
I was thinking like 2000, like the where he actually won the Money in the Bank type Edge, where like he was actually main event. To me, that's his prime. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, let's move forward. So, as everyone knows, on Sunday I gave you guys a little special episode that wasn't necessarily planned. and I gave my initial bad blood thoughts. At the time, Wavy D hadn't watched, or actually, I think he was in the process of watching it as I was recording it.
Yeah, I watched your show after I finished watching Bad Blood.
And so I gave my initial Bad Blood thoughts. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. There's some conversation we've had in the casual wrestling Discord as well. Then we're going to sort of play out here a little bit. I'm going to let him share his thoughts on the on what we call Bad Blood. And I'm not necessarily going to argue against him. He has his right to have his opinion, but I think there's some things that we can get some conversation out of here. So overall, we'll start with your overall thoughts, and then we'll go match for match and tell me what you think.
All right. If I could find my exact quote I like to use. Okay. Here's my description of Bad Blood. It was like two pieces of freshly cut and buttery toast that was thrown on the grill and toasted to absolute perfection. But then you just put a slice of cheese and two pieces of ham in between. All right. I thought the Hell in a Cell match was terrific, amazing, perfect. All right. I think it was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time. I'm not going to go on the limit and say the best, because I do think the end of the era Hell in a Cell match was better. And I think if you want to look at, like, not necessarily gory, but if you want to look at more hardcore Hell in a Cell matches, I'm sure you can also find that. This one did have the story to go with it. The storytelling throughout the Hell in a Cell match was amazing. It culminated in the great feud of CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. It brought that feud to an end. In a great way. I personally would have liked to see Drew McIntyre go over in the feud, but that's, both wrestlers came out looking great. Let's see. The Hell in a Cell match, yeah, amazing. The second match, also during the Hell in a Cell match, even though it was so amazing, this is where I feel like our opinions is like the center point of our differences, especially with me, you, and the rest of the community, is that you guys had the privilege, the opportunity to watch the show together in Discord and chat with each other and watch wrestling as a group. You know what I'm saying? I went into Bad Blood with absolutely zero spoilers outside of Jimmy Uso returning. I saw it because it was a headline on like some random tweet that popped up on my notification. So I got wind of Jimmy Uso returning before I watched it. But other than that, zero spoilers for Bad Blood. I went to it. Boom. Sunday afternoon, came home from Boston, sat down in my room, watched Bad Blood. And the crowd, even for Hell in a Cell, for certain parts where I feel like they should have been louder, should be giving certain cheers, they were kind of dead. They were not very loud. Hell in a Cell, like, they were an okay crowd for like the Hell in a Cell match, but when they followed it up with the Liv and Rhea match, or sorry, no, with Nia and Bayley, I felt, I felt better about that match than other people did. Other people, when I went back to look at the Discord, a lot of people were shitting on the match. They thought it was kind of bad. I thought it was actually some of Nia Bayley's better work as far as together. I like that Nia tried different stuff and she just didn't, wasn't just a bumbling giant. Like, she got on the ground, tried to do some like half Boston crabs, and she tried to do some like headlocks on the ground, and she like they were doing some good work. And I thought, of course, there was a couple like fumbly moves where she did like a half-assed Hurricane Rana that didn't really work, but they tried. And I thought that match was good, and the crowd showed zero love for that match. They weren't fucking with it. They were quiet. I dozed off, and so I rewinded the match and watched it from the start again. So I watched the match like one and a half times over. Next we got into the... That was Liv and Rhea next, right?
Damian Finn next.
Damian Finn would have been a really good. Well, okay, the match they had was a really good Monday Night Raw main event. Like I feel like I would have watched that match on any Monday Night Raw leading up to the show. I just didn't feel like anything new. Of course, you know, the storytelling was, you know, prevalent throughout the whole show. But like, you know, you were my brother. Like, you know, but I just feel like the wrestling itself felt like a regular Monday Night Raw match that I could have seen throughout the month. And then it ends with, you know, it's a typical Bloodline fashion, but, you know, the guy's interfering. I mean, Priest got the win, but I feel like it would have benefited a lot more if Finn Balor got the win. And then you go into Rhea and Liv, where the crowd was not involved whatsoever, especially at the end when the finish got botched, where it was even dead before that, but like Raquel returned to zero reaction. The only time they got a little bit hyped was when Dom almost fell out the cage or whatever, and he was a human piñata, and Rios gives him hits in. They picked up a little bit, but that was like the only part of the match. Like the crowd really took me out of this match. And I noticed, you know, when we look at the international shows, they talk about how sometimes they kind of like try to hijack the show or whatever, but at least like they're lively and they're into the show. Atlanta did not deserve that show last night. I mean, not last night, this past Saturday. They did not deserve that top three Hell in a Cell of all time. They did not deserve The Rock returning. Also, the tag team match start off slow, but you know how the Bloodline works, especially Roman matches. They start off slow, you know, they pick it up a little bit. But the problem with the superstars that were in the match was that the only person who could kind of take and sell offense was Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
Because Jacob, you're still trying to push him, so you're not going to have him sell the whole match. Solo, he's supposed to be the big dog of the Bloodline right now, the head honcho, so he's not going to sell the whole match. Roman, he's your fucking face of fucking wrestling in general, so he's not going to sell that much. And Cody's your world champion. So I felt like it was a battle of who's going to do most of the selling to get us through this match, who's going to get beat up the most. And, of course, you know, it was Cody who got beat up the most, and it was just a tough position to be in. And, you know, the crowd picked up towards the end as it was going on, and then Jimmy came out, which I think was done well. You know, saying, cause I mean, I knew it was Jimmy because of spoilers, but also because I feel like he was going to come back anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who didn't know if it was going to be Jimmy or not, you're like, oh, my God, is that a third Tongan? Is that another part of the Bloodline 2.0? Mm-hmm. And then, like, there was Jimmy. I'm like, okay, but right. Cool.
Right.
And I thought the way they were going to end it was going to be just fine. And then the Rock's music actually did hit. And I was like, okay, bet. That's pretty awesome. And he just came out real fast. You know, they did whatever they did. And then the show ended. I saw the Kevin Owens attack on Cody Rhodes, which I thought was very interesting. I like the way they did it. You know, saying I know they're trying to like make it like not part of the story, but it's part of, you know, whatever. It's being well done. But that's kind of that was my thought on Bad Blood. I know the casual community was rating it like a 12 out of 10. They're trying to call it the pay-per-view of the year. I still think SummerSlam was a way better pay-per-view because I feel like we're living in recency bias right now just because it just happened. But I do feel like SummerSlam was better, and that's my opinion on Bad Blood.
Right. So my response to that is nothing you said necessarily, if you're watching it from your perspective, it was wrong. We'll start from the beginning. We'll start with Punk and Drew. I understand that end of the era is a lot of people's favorite Hell in a Cell match. My issue with that, first off, I'm going to go ahead and pull back the curtain here a little bit and sort of break kayfabe. A lot of times when I say shit, I'm just sort of being wild to be wild. This is the greatest Hell in a Cell match that I've seen With that being said, I wasn't watching with during End of an Era, and I don't think a lot of people in the casual community, at least our community, were watching at that time. And so, of course, I've watched the match. I don't fully remember the story going into that match, but I do. I feel like a lot of that match is rememberable because of the sentimental value of what that match represented. Whereas I feel with Drew and Punk, there was no real sentimental value going into the match. It was just, I want to kill you, and the other guy saying, I want to kill you. And we get an actual story that doesn't rely on sort of like human emotion of like, I might not see these guys again. Mm-hmm. And then everyone wants to throw out Taker and Mankind is like the best of all time because of the two spots that everyone shows and talks about. But outside of that, can you name anything that else that happened in that match? I'm willing to take a step back and say, okay, maybe not the greatest of all time. Maybe it is a little bit of recency bias. For that match. I will say the pay-per-view as a whole, your quote of saying, well, it's two pieces of toast that have been buttered and toasted perfectly, and you just slide some two pieces of ham and a piece. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good sandwich to me. The bread makes the sandwich. At least that's how I rate sandwiches. If you give me a sandwich, you can put whatever really good in between it, but if the bread can't hold it, it's a bad sandwich. My whole point being, especially from a storytelling point of view, I can't name, like, SummerSlam was a good show, but I can't remember half of what happened there. From a storytelling perspective, I don't think we got a lot of, or this level of storytelling in SummerSlam.
I mean, if you go back to SummerSlam, that's when we had Liv defeated Rhea when Dom turned on Rhea, and then you also have Finn Balor turning on Damian Priest that same night, and then you had Drew and CM Punk with Seth Rollins as special guest referee. Yeah, Cody and Solo.
So, I guess my point is a lot of that didn't. So Drew and Punk, of course, continued to build with that story. The Rhea and Dom thing, of course, that started a new story that was being built. I get your point. Maybe it is a recency bias. I just, for me, I don't look at PLEs and say, so for me, it's more of how do I feel at the end of the night? SummerSlam, I was not super jacked at the end of the night, right? And maybe it is because we watched with a community and you didn't. I just felt when I got done watching Bad Blood that the start and the end, while that's the part that carried it, we got direction for each of the stories involved in that show. We move on to, you know, Bayley versus Nia, which really the story for this match, the entire purpose and intent of this match wasn't to tell us a story between Nia and Bayley. Bayley's an NPC in this whole situation. That's plug and play. You could put any babyface on the roster in the spot. The story being told is Nia versus Tiffany.
Yeah.
And so you progress that. That was done very well. I know you want to give props to Nia Jax for doing some new shit. Here's my problem with that. You look like a doofus. I'm sorry. She should not be doing Hurricanrana. I don't care if you thought the spot was cool or any of that. She should not be doing that move. For whatever reason, Triple H has a problem booking giants, and at least the women's division, because he's done a decent job with like Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed. But for whatever reason, you know, Jade Cargill and all the and Nia Jax, he just can't figure out how to present them in a way that makes them, you know, dominant. You know, Bianca should be the one taking all the damage. You get the hot tag. Jade comes in the ring. clotheslines one of the tag team members of the other team, hits the ropes, comes across, big boots the other, gets the little crowd, chant where she screams and gets all the crowd on their feet, turns around, hits Jaded Edge, gets the pin, and one, two. That match should be how Jade is booked every single match. Nia Jax, first off, not only did she botch a Hurricanrana, which I'm not going to hold that against her. She shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. She botched a Samoan drop. And that's her finisher.
Nah, she didn't botch. I think Bayley went for the wrong move. Bayley went for like a famous or something. Where Nia did a Samoan drop and Bayley didn't get her legs over or something.
Whatever happened, it was bad. And my whole, you just, when it's not only your finisher, but it's like the move that all Samoans do. I don't know. It just doesn't look, I'm not saying the match was awful. The match was actually pretty good. Anything that I shat on that match for was more so that Nia Jax just shouldn't be wearing those. Her outfit was awful.
I liked her outfit, yo. Y'all was hating. I think the outfit highlighted her makeup.
Red is not her color. Red is not her color. At her size, she should not be wearing red. Red makes you look bigger than you are.
It looked good. I thought her makeup and hair looked good.
The problem is you're probably the only one here that cares about hair and makeup. I give two shits about what your hair and makeup looks like.
I'm just saying, all I know is her skin tone.
Her music came on. She walked out and looked like a giant ass tomato. And I'd lost any care in the world for any other the rest of her looks. You gotta do something different. Like, I get you're trying to fit the theme, but you just and the costume was too small. Her fucking cooter was showing.
Yes, it was, dude. I was watching the thing. She looked fine, bro.
I don't know,
to,
man.
To backtrack slightly, when you know what I'm saying. We're talking about story inside the Hell in a Cell match, especially comparing the Drew and Punk one to the Triple H and Undertaker one. Technically that story was 4 years in the making. That Triple H and Undertaker Hell in a Cell match,
right?
Was four years in the making.
The reason I'm not saying it was a bad story. I feel the reason though that a lot of people continue to cling on to that is because of the sentimental nostalgia behind the end of the era. I'm not saying it was bad, and yeah, it's up there, but I think as far as like as storytelling goes, the Drew Punk story didn't require as much like sentimental sort of manipulation of the crowd.
Because they was fighting over a fan-made bracelet. One of the biggest spots of the match is when he busts out the bag of beads.
Right, and that plays into the whole bracelet, absolutely. But it wasn't fully. It felt more like a blood feud than just two best friends putting on a final match. Like everyone talks about, like Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, and how that was a good match, and it was. But what's the most remembered spot? It's the ending where it was two buddies at the end of with Ric Flair getting ready to retire. And so that match gets more sentimental remembrance than actual like care for the match. And I feel the same way.
The Triple H and Undertaker one, it wasn't more of like a sentimental friends wrestling match. It was so HBK, he lost to Taker 2 years in a row at WrestleMania 25, and then he put his career on the line at 26.
Right.
And then Triple H was he had beef with Undertaker because Undertaker retired his best friend. So then Triple H and Undertaker at 27, they had the no holds barred match. And then Triple H started to show remorse at the end of the match until Taker stayed down because he didn't want to end his career the way like he was on his path to. And then Undertaker put Triple H in the Hell's Gate finisher out of nowhere and tapped him out. And then they revisited next year where the Triple H and Shawn Michaels came together in a coupe to Undertaker's career, because Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee,
right? And all of that I get. My point that I'm trying to make though is, what is the most memorable part of that whole night? It's them on the stage and all three of them holding their hands up. The whole Right, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that match gets remembered more because of the sentimental value of that moment. It's a great moment. As far as a great match, I still think Punk versus Drew was better. When you involve the match itself plus the storytelling around it. Because I think a lot of people, especially the IWC, would say that this was a bad PLE because they're trying to watch it from an X's and O perspective. And the wrestling for most of the show was mid to pretty bad. Rhea versus Liv as a match itself wasn't necessarily the greatest, you know, spectacle. My point is so Hell in a Cell was to culminate a feud and finish it. The second match was the entire point of that match. The entire reason that match happened was for Tiffy to fake cash in, and now Nia sort of paranoid about Tiffany.
I feel like we got that Nia and Tiffany, like, oh my god, are you about to cash in on me like five times already? Though, I feel like it's a little bit repetitive.
But you do, you have to do it repeatedly to break Nia. So Nia breaks in this match.
I feel like it's one thing if she actually cashed in, but if we're getting to the teasing thing, we've already done the teasing thing. I feel like Nia's already pushed Tiffany pretty much to the limit twice now. And now it's right. Triple H did the same thing twice already.
Right. And I get that. But the story now being told is Tiffy shown now that she won, and I don't want to give spoilers away for next week's Raw.
Yeah, so
okay, so you spoiler alert, just so those who actually want to watch Raw next week.
Yeah, skip 40 seconds ahead.
Tiffany comes out and, you know, tries to cash in on Liv, or is pushed by Nia to cash in on Liv, which is what Nia is trying to do. And ultimately we know she's going to cash in on Nia, but you have to have what happened at, I wanted to call it Hell in a Cell because that was essentially the old pay-per-view name, but what happened at Bad Blood to get to this point. And so I think it's a progression of the story. The third match, I agree with you. The match could have been on a Raw. I still think Gunther Sammy should have happened in place of this. I think you could have literally just swapped spots on the weekend. But the entire purpose of this match was, again, you know, you mentioned, you know, Judgment Day interferes like they always do. Well, that's the whole point of the gimmick. They're the chicken shit.
I feel like Finn should have went over, especially with no title on the line. Like, Finn should have went over, especially because now the sources have come out that on TV, as far as on TV, Rhea and Damian are kind of going to go their own way for a while.
Right. So I think the idea here that they're trying to get across is that Finn can't beat Damian by himself, so he needs the Judgment Day. Ultimately, this is going to end up in a...
He still didn't beat him.
Again, besides the point, it's going to lead to a match where Damian says... you know, you continue to have your buddies. You can't beat me one on one. You can't face me one on one without attacking me. And so we're gonna ban the Judgment Day. This is that type of story, probably at Survivor Series where this thing ends. Ultimately, Damian Priest is gonna go over Finn at that last match. That's just how the feuds have to go. The good guys have to win. So when you mentioned like Drew should have gone over, I think they picked the best result. CM Punk had to go over here. He's the good guy. He's the one fighting for against Drew McIntyre, who's the bad guy in the whole feud. As far as Rhea Liv, that entire match was not about the match. That entire match had one point. We're returning Raquel Rodriguez. Was poorly executed. And you talk about the fans. We've had this conversation. I didn't recognize the fans. I don't ever pay attention to the fans when I watch wrestling, whether I'm watching with the community or not. It's just not something that I focus on. I try not to. The WWE can't control how the fans react. Now, ultimately, your job is to get fans to react, but you can't force them to react. And so I also think we need to take into consideration that it is the South, and a lot of Southern wrestling fans, they live in nostalgia, they live in the past. And if they don't, I've been to shows in this area, in the Southeast, where people were talking about, it's Ric Flair. Every show we go to, the Woo chant breaks out, or some form of, I always get talked about, oh, man, the good old days of the 80s. Wrestling's not as good. The South lives in the past.
It's Atlanta, though. Atlanta's supposed to be different. This is Atlanta we're talking about. We're not talking about, the middle of nowhere. We're talking about a big city, Atlanta.
But the fans that came to that show, mainstream Atlanta is not going to a WWE show.
Mainstream Atlanta was there. They had every celebrity in the building was there. Everybody, the celebrities were there.
But the normal fans who weren't paid by WWE or given a free ticket by WWE to come into the building, the normal fan base are wrestling fans that live in the WCW era, which is why Goldberg got a big pop.
Now, I saw youngins there. You got to go back and look at that crowd. I saw youngins. There was youngins rocking. He had like 13-year-olds there rocking some Cody Rhodes merch. Right.
And who took them? Their dads who don't watch the product. They're uninformed. So why was there no pop for Raquel Rodriguez? One, they probably didn't know who she was. Two, the positioning of the shark cage was weird. I'm sure some people couldn't even see what was going on there. It was a weird position because you had the Hell in the Cell hanging from the ceiling still. And so having the shark cage hanging over the ramp, if you're sitting in them 200 sections, you can't see who's on the floor. Even if you're sitting like halfway up, you can't see what's on the floor.
I thought the point where Raquel was in the ring and she hit Rhea with the Gohana bomb or whatever, and is standing over everybody to silence. I'm like, yo, what are we doing? Again,
people probably didn't know who she was. It's been what, 6 months since we've seen Raquel Rodriguez?
I was hyped. I was sitting there like, yo, Raquel's back, and I'm just looking like pit dead silence.
I agree. Atlanta should not get PLEs. Atlanta shouldn't get any sports event. It's known to the sports world. Atlanta's a bad crowd. And every sports thing, if you go to a Falcons game, the only reason people go to Falcons games because they have the cheapest concessions in the league. You can get beer for $2. That's the only reason people go to Falcons games. Same with the Hawks. Same with, there's a reason, back in the early 2000s, Atlanta had a hockey team. They're now in Winnipeg. No one goes to Atlanta sports event. It's a bad sports market.
I feel like, isn't the basketball market decent?
No one goes to Hawks games. Part of it's because the Hawks suck. But, it's the fan base down here for sports, because Carolina, where I live, is no different. I have Carolina Panther fans offering tickets for $2 to go to games because they have season tickets and they just want to get rid of them. This area is just real casual when it comes to sporting events. Bad crowds. So it's part of the reason North Carolina never gets PLEs, because the last one we had was 2019 and was a bad crowd. I know, because I was there. It was a really bad crowd. My bigger point is I can't judge the product based on the crowd reaction to it. Because there are cities that have bad crowds. There are, crowds that have bad nights. I think a lot of people forget we're even lucky this event happened, because half of Atlanta was underwater 2 nights prior to this event happened. Most of the people in Atlanta didn't get power until Sunday afternoon from the hurricane. I'm not going to defend the crowd because I didn't pay attention to it. That's just something I don't pay attention to. I think a lot of it has to do with they just didn't know what was going on, who it was. I think a lot of it has to do with the sports market it was in. And as I've said before, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns are what sold the event. Everything in between, no one else, I'm not going to say speak for everyone, but most people didn't come to the event to see Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. Let me get that main event, and I mean, couldn't ask for a better way to end the show. I think it holds up. Maybe not a 12 out of 10. That was hyperbolic. But I will say it's PLE of the year.
No, I can't. I can't give it that one. I mean, I know it's your opinion, but I can't hop on board with that one. Just like, you know, the Hell in a Cell, great match, great story. The middle three matches, we all agree, were subpar matches. We disagree on the story perspective, but we all agree that the matches were kind of subpar. And then
similar to Nerdy D, though, I don't watch it for the X and O's. If I wanted to do that, I wouldn't have watched Bad Blood. I would have waited till 10 o'clock and watched UFC. And so I just.
But even the story, I don't know. I feel like we differ on the story quality of the middle three matches and the middle three programs.
I think they set out with an idea of how to progress a story and they accomplished it.
Because they hyped up Bad Blood for like 3 months. And the show did not live up to 3 months worth of hype.
They hyped it up
like a Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. They hyped it up like 3 months out. The Hell in a Cell lived up to it. But then after that, we got three matches of like subpar, like borderline pay-per-view stuff. And then the main event, yes, it was like, you know, it's the Roman Reigns return to the ring. The Rock returned for 5 seconds at the very end. But, like, you know, the match wasn't the greatest until, like, the last 4 minutes of the match where it picked
that's
up.
That's every Bloodline match.
Okay, so.
Let's just be honest. A lot of people are going to put WrestleMania as the greatest PLE of the year, or you'll even say SummerSlam. To those who say WrestleMania, they're going to cite, you know, the Bloodline, you know, Cody versus Roman, and they're going to cite the nostalgia act of bringing all the legends back. And to me, that's a great moment, but the match wasn't anything good. This is every Bloodline match. We literally got the same Bloodline match we've gotten for the last 2.5 years. This one just had a different tension to it because of the circumstances. And you get a return of Jimmy. I kind of figured it was Jimmy because if it was the other Tongan, that motherfucker's 7 foot tall. You would have been able to tell. And so you get Jimmy back, which is great. You get The Rock coming back, and Lord, you know, motherfucker does a three count, then slices his neck, and then walks away. We don't know what the hell he's talking about. We end the show, and the message is we're just getting started. The push to Mania starts now. And this is how Triple H books. He's going to push to Mania now. We get a little bit sidetracked with Crown Jewel, but that even has some story and some because, you know, we haven't talked about sort of the extracurriculars that happened during the show. We got Goldberg. Doesn't seem like it's going to turn into anything, but we have the new little Crown Jewel championship. We'll defend this once a year at Crown Jewel every year. Makes November mean something going in when typically this pay-per-view means absolutely nothing. And so that's a little fun thing that happened. I will say this is my PLE of the year, unless something happens in the next, you know, 2 months, it should stay that way.
I feel like NXT even had better PLEs.
So I have to go with Nerdy D's logic here on this one. It's the circumstance of what NXT has. I think NXT is the greatest show in wrestling right now. Just from a week-to-week basis, I think it's the greatest product we have. I just think that Shawn Michaels is able to do a little bit more and experiment with certain things. Let's transition to last night in that episode we call. I was hyped because it's a 2-hour Raw. I was thinking, okay, we're gonna pick up where we left off. We got this once, you know, what I was calling like a once in a lifetime PLE, and it literally just feels like they just put everyone else not on the PLE, said go to St. Louis. Everyone else can party in Atlanta. And, you know, outside of CM Punk and the two seconds that Dom and Liv were on the screen, everyone else was just sort of, you know, the backup stories that didn't make the PLE. And it felt rushed. The commercials ruined everything. I don't really have anything good to say about last night's Raw.
Neither do I.
I think you cursed us in telling and predicting that we were going to get this women's War Games match that's now looking like that's going to be fulfilled.
Yeah, I called it 2 weeks ago. I told you. we get in the stud line and dental control versus the jobbers.
The baby face jobbers. Right.
I don't know. You get in the dancing girls, the Puerto Rican girl, the bird girl, and the cat girl. Like that's really what y'all getting. Versus the lesbians and the English woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is, but
now Raquel should have returned to join the stud line. Now that's money right there.
No, Raquel is perfect. Raquel is perfect where she's at. She fit. She has history with Liv. They won tag titles together. She has a history against Rhea. This makes perfect sense where she's at. Let's not put her in this fucking PFC shit.
Or we gotta get Dakota Kai in PFC.
If Dakota Kai joined PFC,
she matches their lifestyle.
I get it, but if she joins PFC, I will not be able to cheer for Dakota Kai any longer.
That's so crazy. So your disdain for the Pure Fusion Collective outweighs your passion for Dakota Kai.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I'm sorry. I love Dakota, but if she joins PFC when she gets back from her 15th injury in the last 2 years, we have it split up a little bit. I mean, you split up from Asuka, so everything's possible. So let's move on we didn't get any questions from Discord this week, which is fine. We'll move on to Thirsty Tuesday. We'll end this a little earlier than we normally do. I completely forgot until about right before we got on to load pictures up to my computer. So y'all going to have to do some research for this one because I don't have pictures to show you. My poster that I'm going to put for when we vote, Wavy D, too many D's flowing around in this community.
Pause.
No Diddy. Wavy D's pictures for each of his people he picked are his own pictures. The only thing I did was remove the background from them so I could put them on the little banner thing that I made. We have four matchups this week. We're not voting. For this first round, I don't know if I made the rules clear. We're not voting this first round. Our whole job is to convince the audience on why they should vote for our pick, for at least for this first round. Once we get to the second round, where we might have like a Wavy D versus a Wavy D, we can participate with that. I'm be honest with you, these first four matchups, I posted the bracket in the Discord this morning. These first four matchups, if you're looking at the bracket, we're doing the sort of outer four matchups. So the first one is Haley Welsh for my team, which y'all don't know who that is. It's a Hawk Tua girl. Versus Kerry Hilson. Y'all gonna have to do your own research for the photos. So why should the Discord vote for Miss Hilson? What does she have over Miss Hawk Tua that she wins this one?
All right, all I'm gonna tell you, okay. All you need to know, Kerry Hilson, beautiful person, bro. Beautiful woman. I know, like all the people on this list are going to be beautiful women, but right. Kerry Hilson was she in the 2010, late 2000s, she was everyone's crush right here. Kerry Hilson was everyone's crush. Okay, she made the Pretty Girl anthem. If you don't know this, okay, she has a song, Pretty Girl Rock. Okay, top tier song. Okay, top tier. Is off her album No Boys Allowed. Let's see. Well, what did the song go? Did it go platinum, gold? What did it go? Let's see. Did it go gold? What did it go? I don't know. But anyways, beautiful light-skinned queen. Okay. Caramel goddess. She rocked plenty of different hairstyles. She's a little bit more grown now, okay? So if you like her grown stages or her little bit younger stages, all right, she looked beautiful in both of them, okay?
I mean, I'll take your word for it. Y'all got to do your research, look her up. So I want to sort of add this preface here. You're not judging the pictures on the poster. You're judging the person as a whole. Wavy D picked his photos. I picked mine.
I thought we were judging the photos. That's why you said pick the photo. You said pick a photo that way you can't complain if I pick a bad photo.
Right. So the reason I had you pick the photos was because James been complaining. You do a very bad job at picking photos, and the goal of this was never for y'all to judge the photo that I pick. It's to judge the human being and their attractiveness. I'm gonna be honest with you, Wavy D. If we were judging photos, he has his entire list are like actresses, people who are on bra, you know, who have to dress up. My whole list are athletes. So
who follows that?
I mean,
you said pick the baddie of baddies for celebrities,
right? And you did. You picked who you thought were the baddies. I picked who I thought were the baddies. We're judging the fullness of what they look like, not just the one photo. That's not fair.
I thought all I'm saying, Pretty Girl Rock, certified platinum, and right. peak number 24 in the Billboard Top 100.
Right. So I'm going to be honest with you. I want y'all to vote for Miss Hawk Tua over here. I ain't got much to defend her with because what's attractive to me about her, and I've said this before, is her personality. Now, she's a little cute little blonde girl, but she ain't got nothing over Miss. I'm gonna go ahead and say, if y'all vote for Miss Hilston, that's fine. I'm fine losing this battle. You know, the luck of the draw, the luck of me spinning the wheel didn't really come in my favor for Haley Wolf. It was going to be hard to get her to win any of these anyway, because Wavy D has a super team over here.
Yeah, exactly. Remember that. Wavy D has a super team. Okay? You see, he'll admit that, but he questions my baddies and night judgments.
Crazy. I do, because you'd be putting fucking Rhea Ripley on this time.
Look at this. Okay? You see all these initial matchups are Wavy D versus We Too Deep, okay?
Right.
If Wavy D wins the majority of these head-to-head battles, we Too Deep can't question my Battle of the Night for a whole month.
For a whole month? I'll take that. Look, I'm going to need my Discord, though, now to just vote for Wavy D just so this happens. I need y'all to be fair with it. Matchup number two. Let's move forward. Wavy D side, Bella Thorne. My side, Caitlin Clark. Why should they vote for Bella Thorne?
Okay, first of all, we're voting for Bella Thorne because, first of all, okay, for my youngins, all right, for my folks around my age,
right.
So let's turn back the clock a little bit when we was kids. Right. You know, we know we all watched Shake It Up, right?
Absolutely.
We watched Shake It Up. You know, we had Zendaya and Bella Thorne. Mind you, Zendaya is also on my roster, a different part of this list, but Zendaya and Bella Thorne. You know what I'm saying? You used to figure out Were you a chocolate brother or a winter soldier? You know what I'm saying? You just had to figure out what you liked.
Right.
But you knew whichever way you chose, you wasn't gonna be disappointed. All right. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Bella Thorne was the leading promotion for the new Scream TV show or whatever it was.
Mm.
She died in the first 5 minutes. They promote that whole movie/TV show about her. I'm pretty sure it was the TV show. They promote the whole TV show about her. She died in the first 5 minutes. And guess what? It's because Bella Thorne was that girl, that woman. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now I don't want to talk down on We Too Deep's a person, We Too Deep's girl. But if this is gonna be like, you know, convincing you and telling you why you should vote for mine. Caitlin Clark, even though she might have been a what? She was number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
She was even a first round draft pick if it came to looks in that draft. Okay. She might have been first overall pick, but she might have went undrafted if we're talking looks in that draft. Mm. All right. You know, say I know Angela Reese might be some of y'all cups of tea. Well, guess what? She looked like Cinda Sloth. So she's not making my list either. All right. But she even her was gonna pick for Caitlin Clark. Now you have had a chance if you said Cameron Brink.
Mm-hmm.
Now she a baddie. But Caitlin Clark, even though she is on my hear me out list,
right?
I would participate in some Caitlin Clark, respectfully, of course. But you know what I'm saying? I respect her for her basketball ability and her humble nature and her pleasant attitude as a person. But she's not baddie material.
Mm.
She might be a wife, but she's not baddie material.
Mm. All right. We're gonna transition now to the matchup that I actually have a shot, a little bit of a shot to win here.
Oh, you're gonna talk Caitlin Clark up?
Look, now Caitlin Clark, you know, same thing with Miss Haley Welch. It's that, you know, she's on the list because her personality. You already did it for me. She's a great personality. She's a great human being. You know, I'm not gonna talk down Bella Thorne. Here's my thing with Bella Thorne. Like, yeah, shake it up. You know, when I was a little when I was a teenager, yeah, it was Team Bella all day. Absolutely. But I don't know. She went a little crazy like a couple years ago and started becoming unattractive to me. I don't know what it was or what it was. You know, it is what it is. I'm going to let the Discord figure this one out. We're going to go to a competition I can actually win, though. DJ Wavy D's competitor, Sarah Safari.
Yes, sir.
But see, she a baddie, I'll admit. But she got paired up against probably the most famous person, in my opinion, that came out of the sort of beginning of TikTok COVID era. That's Addison Rae. Tough matchup here. I mean, Addison Rae just speaks for herself. To me, I ain't got to say much for it. You know, for people who've never heard of Sarah Safari, talk her up.
All right. So, Sarah Safari is a influencer, a fitness influencer from out of Los Angeles, okay? You might know her if you're familiar with Nick Nyrsia or who's the guy who owns that gym? He's slightly associated with the Nelk Boys. What's the gym? Oh, Brad Martin. If you're familiar with Brad Martin, he owns the gym out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Martin. If you remember Bradley Martin, he owns Zoo Culture, okay, which is a gym out in California. And Sarah Safari is an influencer, model, friend, podcast co-host of Bradley Martin. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? She is a lovely, lovely person, okay? She is the fine line that separates baddie and wifey, okay? She's that fine gray line area that separates baddie and wifey. She's like if you had like a Venn diagram, okay? She's the middle part of the Venn diagram.
Okay.
Okay. A little bit of a muscle mommy. All right, she can outflex you. But also, when she's like out and about, she could wear a dress and not look like she's out of place. Okay. She can also kick your ass. Okay. So if you like a dominant female, she's dominant as far as she can dominate you, but she also has a soft personality and she's very kind.
Okay.
Lovely, beautiful, and she got the yams.
She got the yams. All right. Matchup number four, last one for the week.
You're not even going to talk about Addison Rae?
I just said before I went to you that Addison Rae speaks for herself.
That is crazy. Yeah, you got to hype her up. It's crazy. All right.
Look, see, what I'm expecting people to do, I'm not going to try to hype these people up. Go do your own research.
Addison Rae fell off a little bit, though. She fell off a little bit. 2 years ago, Addison Rae might have won this list. I was a big Addison Rae fan like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. She might fell off a little bit, especially with that VMAs dress. You remember that VMAs dress? She had her chest look like pancakes. it almost looked like a waffle iron, and crushed them up. It was bad.
Right. So last matchup, my team, Tate McRae, Wavy D, and Tonya Gentry. Look, first time I saw Tate McRae, she was advertising. I don't even know the brand of water it was. I don't really drink water like that. All I know is I saw Tate McRae, and I'll buy the water. Sure thing, absolutely. Essentia. There, that see what it is. Don't even pay attention to the brand. I don't even like her music. I'm gonna be straight up with you. Only reason I even care about her is she fine. Look, she has to win this one. It's real simple. Tate McRae is the best choice in this battle. Why should they vote for Antonia Gentry?
First of all, her name speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying? Her name is just a beautiful name to say. Antonia Gentry. Sounds like a goddess, okay? For my folks out there who like Netflix, right? And y'all watch Ginny and Georgia, okay? Y'all know Georgia, all right? You know what I'm saying? She just got like a nice natural beauty, okay? Light skinned, beautiful girl, nice curly hair, freckles. You know what I'm saying? You know, it might sound messed up to say, but she could play both sides of the race fence too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She'd be just like, you know, like the token black girl who goes to a PWI, or she could be just a natural black queen. Okay, she's very versatile in her beauty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I gotta say about her. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so those are our four matchups for this first week of it. Next week's matchup is going to be pretty good as well. Go ahead and vote. You can go vote now in the Discord. Join that as well. If you're not in it, go ahead and click join. You can then vote for our Thirsty Tuesday bracket here. Until then, next week, well, let's say, yeah, any final words before we close this out?
I'm looking at the Discord right now. This man way too deep picked the tryhard pictures. He picked tryhard pictures for everyone except for Caitlin Clark. He picked Caitlin Clark in a basketball jersey. It's crazy. And you did her dirty. This is way too deep. You did her dirty. Everyone else got a chance. I mean, Haley is his eye. There's probably not too many pictures of her out on the internet. But like, you know, you could have done Caitlin Clark a little more justice in this.
Look. See, my thing is, Caitlin Clark is attractive to me because she plays basketball. I like athletes. And so I'm not going to put her dressed up because I don't find her necessarily more attractive when she dresses up. I find her more attractive when she's playing basketball. That's why my list is full of athletes. I like athletes. So any final words, what, you know, things you're looking forward to on SmackDown, any of that?
Cool. I'm already running away with the votes. I'm already running away. Williams is in here right now. He's putting in work. I'm already winning two categories.
Look, we ain't talking about
shout out to the Withers. Yo, he in there fast. He said, I'm not missing out on this. Shout out to the Withers. You know what I'm saying? These early rounds, you know what I'm saying? It might go either way. But trust and believe. Wavy D got the sauce, okay?
Yeah, I mean, Wavy D going to win this one because he's got the hottest girl in the planet right now.
Do a little bit of research on your own, too. You know what I'm saying? I gave you one picture. I can only pick one picture.
Right.
We'll go look at some pictures, some videos. Click the link in their bios. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, if they got it for free. No, I'm kidding.
Tell them I sent you. Tell them what Wavy D from the Slightly Eat Wrestling Podcast sent you.
Right. Until then, though. Y'all have a great rest of your night. Hopefully, SmackDown's good this week, and we will. I'll see you all Friday. Wavy D will join us again next Tuesday. We'll do this all over again. Until then, y'all have a great rest of your week. Brother, I'm good.